Amsasham Suraja Naragya Dishyate Putra Arathiha Prati Labdhaschi Chiram Nashto Rakshita Mandalam Bhuvaha Tham Sasham Surja Narakyam Yishtya Te Putra Arthiha Prati Labdhas Chiram Nashto Rakshita Mandalam Bhuvaha
The residents of the palace praised the queen. Dear queen, your beloved son was lost a long time ago, and it is your great fortune that he now has come back. It appears, therefore, that your son will be able to protect you for a very long time and will put an end to all your material pains.
Abhyarachitastraya nunam Bhagavan pranethartiha Yad anudhyayano dhira Mrityam jigyu sudurjayam.
Dear Queen, you must have worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who delivers his devotees from the greatest danger. Persons who constantly meditate upon him surpass the course of birth and death. This perfection is very difficult to achieve. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was a lost child of Queen Suniti. But during his absence, she always meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was able to rescue his devotees from all dangers. While Dhruva Maharaj was absent from his home, not only did he undergo severe austerities in the forest of Madhuban, but at home also his mother prayed to the Supreme Lord for his safety and good fortune. In other words, the Lord was worshipped by both the mother and the son, and both were able to achieve the supreme benediction from the Supreme Lord. The word Sudurjayam, an adjective which indicates that no one can conquer death, is very significant. When Dhruva Maharaj was away from home, his father thought that he was dead. Ordinarily, a king's son only 5 years old and away from home in the forest would certainly be supposed dead. But by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only was he saved, but he was blessed with the highest perfection. Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, text number 53. Dhruva Maharaj, a mere child of 5 years, was alone in the deep and dark recesses of the forest, performing severe austerity. He had no training of how to live in the forest. His father, Uttanapada, was the king of the world. Dhruva was raised in a royal palace with servants and maidservants providing his every need. I remember when I was a young boy in Himalayas and I went to the forest. Some sadhus, they trained me how to live in the forest. Otherwise you die. You don't know what to eat, what not to eat. But Dhruva Maharaj, he just went to the forest fearlessly, without a second thought. His mother was home in anguish, heartbroken. How is it possible that my son can possibly survive? But she could not stop him from going. He had that determination. He left in such a way that no one could even follow him to go with him. When a child is 5 years old, it's a time in life when naturally the mother and father feel that he's completely dependent on our compassion to survive, even in the palace. What to speak of forest? In this case, Suniti was helpless. Truly helpless. You who are parents, if your five-year-old child goes out to school or play and doesn't come home for some time, you know how much you worry, what anxiety you must be in. Try to put yourself in Suniti's position. This was in the age of Satya Yuga, when people had a very much greater and more profound capacity to have affection and love for others. So her motherly affection was afflicted by this most horrific situation. In her broken-hearted state, in constant fear of her son's safety, there was only one thing she could do: to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to pray for his mercy. Please protect my child. There's no one else who can do it. He's alone in the jungle with wild animals, cold, hot, insects, snakes. Where is food? Where is shelter? Krishna, please protect him. She had this faith. Due to her faith, she took shelter 100% of Lord Narayan. And practically 24 hours a day, she was absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna. Not for her own welfare, but for the welfare of her son. This is paradukaduki, where another's suffering is your suffering. She didn't care about her own life. She didn't care about her own suffering. She was only concerned with him. She was simply approaching the Lord so that his blessings and mercy could be upon her helpless son. This is the nature of a real Vaishnava. Suniti had motherly love. But we find our great acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they have the same type of love toward every living being. How was it possible? Vasudev Dutt. He was weeping and crying and begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands, please grant me one benediction. There's only one thing I ask. There's a great longing in my heart. You are the Supreme Lord. You have the power to fulfill whatever your devotee asks. So please grant me this benediction. The Lord said, whatever you desire, Krishna must certainly fulfill. He said, my heart breaks when I see the foolish, ignorant people of this world trying to enjoy separate from you, suffering due to ignorance, the threefold miseries of material existence inflicted upon them. I cannot bear it. Please grant me this benediction, that all the living entities with this entire universe, that they all go back to the spiritual world. And I know there's a lot of karma that everyone has. Let all the sinful karma of every living entity come upon my head so that they could all be with you and enjoy. And as for me, I will bear the burden of suffering and hell forever. Please grant me this benediction. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Lord Chaitanya started to weep, to cry, to see the compassion of Vasudev Dutt. He was choked up. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the All-Powerful, had no power to speak. He was so much overwhelmed by the love and compassion of this merciful Vaishnava. And with a choked voice, he expressed his great love for Vasudev Dutt. The Lord was so obliged by this spirit of compassion that he would often say that I am Vasudev Dutta's property. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. Declare it, and I say it again, that I am the property of Vasudev Dutta. He has purchased me by his compassion. We suffer in this world because we are selfish, because we are so much concerned about our own needs, our own wants, our own trials and tribulations. But Vaishnav, as he becomes purified, is willing to accept voluntary tribulations, sacrifices, even death for the welfare of others. This type of mental disposition is very pleasing to the Lord because it is the nature of the Lord's love. Suniti, the queen of Uttanapada, she was in this state. In her motherly affection, she was so much concerned about her child. I'm a sannyasi, so I don't know so much about motherly affection. But I have heard and seen some things. I remember one time a mother's child, young age, was in an unfortunate situation and died. And another lady, who was actually a stranger, she didn't even know this person, but she happened to meet her and saw her situation. And she started to cry. And she said, I too am a mother, so I know what you must feel like. Bhima, the Pandava, he is a very great Vaishnava. He's a Paramhamsa Vaishnava. And he told Arjuna, you must kill this Ashwatthama. Justice must be met. We are Kshatriyas. He killed our five sons. He must be killed. And Draupadi, she said, no, do not disturb him. She killed all my children. This Ashwatthama killed my five children. And I am suffering terribly. But he's the only son of Kripi, the wife of our guru, Drona. I know what it's like to be without children. I know what a mother's heart feels like when her son is gone. She should not have to suffer like this. Let him be. So, a virtuous mother naturally has this affection for child. Even spiritual circles. We read about Srila Prabhupada's mother. She was a Rajani. Yes, she was a great devotee. Prabhupada says she was a very great, dedicated Gaudiya Vaishnavi. But she had so much concern for her little Abhay Charan. She would do so many things to protect him. She actually, just to protect him, to petition God and the gods to protect him, she did so many mysterious things, which means she was completely absorbed in her son. She decided from the day he was born that she would only eat with her left hand. Not touch food with her right hand during prasad. And the vow was she would do that throughout her life until her child asked her, why are you eating with your left hand? And then she would start eating with her right hand. The idea, as long as she did this vow, that the Lord would protect him. And every time he went out to play or to go to school, she would put saliva on her finger and put it on his forehead. And he would say, why you are doing like this? She said, so that God will protect you. And so these may seem like superstitions, but actually it's not superstition if you really have faith in God and you're making some gesture to appeal to the Lord to protect her child. So this was her motherly love. Srila Prabhupada told us that she did so many of these things. To this day, he said, he couldn't understand what she was doing. So many little ritualistic. But it was the nature of her love. In every possible way, she was thinking simply, may the Lord protect my son. Somehow I have to show the Lord in so many different ways how much I want him to protect my son. So this is the nature of a mother's love. And Yashoda Mai, she did the same thing with Krishna. We read about when Trinavarta or Shakatashura attacked little baby Krishna or Putana. How Trinavarta took her in the air, Krishna in the air, and she could not see because there was so much dust everywhere that she fell unconscious like a cow that had just lost her calf. She was blinded with anxiety, not seeing where Krishna was. And after he came down and Trinavarta was dead, she was thinking it must be due to our pious activities And because our son is innocent, that Lord Vishnu has saved him. And then they made all these nice ritualistic offerings to protect him. They would cover him with cow dung and cow urine, and they would brush him with the tail of a cow, and they would chant various mantras for every part of his body for protection. And if a common man reads this, they think, what superstitious people they are. But actually, it was their love, their devotion for their child, and their love and their devotion to the Supreme Lord to protect the child. Very simple, very innocent is the love of the Brijabasis. And when she saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, Yashoda Mai, first she fell unconscious. She could not bear it. And then, although the waters were smoking with poisonous vapors, she just decided to jump in the waters. She couldn't bear living, seeing her child in that helpless, desperate condition. Massive, hundred-headed serpent with his gigantic coils wrapped around Gopal. Who to her body, his body was soft. He was like a puppet made out of butter. It was unbearable. So Suniti, being a great devotee of the Lord, knowing that ultimately only Krishna can save us. Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants you dead, you are dead. Nothing can protect you. If Krishna wants to protect you, there is no force in all of creation that can harm you. If they drop a nuclear bomb right on top of your head, it will not even disturb one hair. If Krishna wants to protect you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, even if you have a nuclear bomb, one little mosquito may come and bite you and you're dead. So here we are reading about the wonderful love of Mother Suniti for Dhruva Maharaj. And in Prabhupada's purport, speaking on behalf of all the previous acharyas, he is explaining a very, very sublime principle. Dhruva Maharaj was in the forest, performing severe austerities. He was totally absorbed in meditation on Krishna. And Suniti was in her beautiful, comfortable palace. But she was also doing severe austerities to be in separation from her son. And she also was completely absorbed in meditation on Krishna. And Prabhupada explained they both achieved the same goal. Both the mother and the son achieved the same perfection of life. Because of their absorption in Krishna consciousness. The test of this was many years later, after Dhruva Maharaj completed his term of ruling the world for 36,000 years. It was time for him to go back to the planet, the Vaikuntha planet that the Lord assigned him to go, Dhruvaloka. And the airship with the Lord's four-armed associates came to bring him back to Godhead. And he said to them that, I became a devotee because of the prayers and the love and the instructions of my mother. I cannot go without her. This was his feeling. And they already knew his mind. They told him to look upward. And there he said, he saw, even before they came for him, they came for her. She was already well on her way back home, back to Godhead on an airship. This is reciprocation of love. This is Vaishnav consciousness. She was always thinking of his welfare, and he was always thinking of her welfare. Someone who is not properly understanding the intricacies of bhakti may consider, why was he so attached to his mother? Why he says, I don't want to go back to Godhead without my mother? Isn't this a material attachment? It may appear that way externally, but actually it was a pure spiritual reciprocation of love between great Vaishnavas. She helped him in his spiritual life, and he wanted to help her in her spiritual life. She gave her life for him, and he's willing to give her life, his life for her. This is Vaishnava relationships. Selfless concern for the spiritual welfare of another. No callousness. When a devotee attains love of God, there is a state called sneha, where the heart becomes very, very soft. It's constantly melted. Therefore, there is a state of compassion, love, and concern for everyone. What to speak of those devotees who have helped us? In this connection, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he describes that he has so many spiritual children. And it is his prayer that one of his children will attain the ultimate perfection of life and go back to Godhead and pray on his behalf. Then he will have the qualification by which he can also go. Srila Prabhupada's humility, in one sense, but it's also a very profound instruction. Not that we should think that we're going to take our Srila Prabhupada back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is taking us back to Godhead. But it's not just as we just mechanically let him take us back to Godhead. In the purified platform, Prabhupada wanted to teach us there's actually a reciprocation of love. When Prabhupada was performing his inconceivable earthly leela, and he would sometimes physically become sickly or old, devotees were very, very much concerned with his welfare. When he wanted to do the parikram of Giri Govardhan, and doctors said, if he does this, he will die. There's no doubt. So devotees were weeping and crying and begging him, please, please, Prabhupada, we want to protect you. We want to help you. Reciprocation. For so many years, they were helpless spiritually, and Prabhupada just picked them up like his own child and spoon-fed them with the philosophy, the culture, and the mercy of the Lord. And now Prabhupada is in a lila where he appears to be helpless, and they're reciprocating love. And Srila Prabhupada actually explained, it's a transcendental position. It's not that the spiritual master simply gets sick like an ordinary person, but he's giving a chance for disciples to reciprocate love. In a personal way. His Grace Jananivas Prabhu is here, the most celebrated, illustrious pujari in the 14 worlds. And how he worships the deity of Radha Madhav and Radha Gopinath with such love, as a person. Krishna needs food. He needs it now. It's cold. Krishna needs warm dress now. This is his constant meditation. What is Krishna's desires? What is Krishna's needs? So personal, so intimate, so loving, so gracious. That is bhakti. That is how we deal with Krishna in his deity form. And also, we understand that Krishna accepts our service through his devotees. So that is how we deal with devotees. With care, with attention, in a mood of service. And service means personal. Real service has to be done on a very personal platform, with a genuine consideration of the needs, the wants of the person you're serving, to please them, to help them. Well, Suniti had this consciousness, and therefore Dhruva Maharaj had the same consciousness toward her. Dhruva Maharaj was thinking that my devotion, whatever mercy I have, is due to my guru and due to my mother. And in the introduction to one of Srila Prabhupada's books, he dedicated it to his father, Gaur Mohan Day. And he explains that he was the first person in my life to actually invest the spirit of devotion in my heart, which was later carried forward by his eternal father, his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But for all time to come, this book is dedicated to his father. Because when he was a small child, his father inspired him in devotion, prayed for him. Every day, 4 or 5 sadhus would come to their home. And he would always ask them for one blessing. He didn't ask them, give me wealth. He didn't ask, give me fame, prestige. The only blessing he asked was, please, give the blessing of that my son will become very dear to Srimati Radharani. That in his life he will please Srimati Radharani. So because the father was simply thinking in terms of the blessing of the son, father was so concerned that little Abhay Charan would learn Murdanga so he could do nice kirtans. Other teachers would come to tutor Prabhupada in various academic subjects, but Prabhupada was with his Murdanga teacher. And mother would say to father that the other teachers are here, but Abhay, he's so much attached to this Murdanga teacher. He said, yes, yes, let him learn Murdanga. It's the most important thing. He was a devotee of Mahaprabhu. There's nothing more important than developing a taste for Harinam Sankirtan. That's the highest, purest, most practical education in this age of Kali. And that is love. So Srila Prabhupada, 65 years later, he's remembering his father's love for him. And he's dedicating his book to his father, remembering how he helped me in my Krishna consciousness. One time, Lord Chaitanya sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip from Puri, especially to see his mother Sachi Devi. He brought her various types of Jagannath's prasad and very affectionate messages from Lord Chaitanya. So he was there for some time, and when all the devotees were coming for the Ratha Yatra festival, he went with them. He couldn't bear separation from Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was meeting all the devotees from Bengal when they came to Puri. He personally met them at the Ataranala bridge and personally offered garlands, chandan to each of them, affectionately, lovingly embraced each of the devotees. And the ladies, he was sannyasi, they were a little distance away, offering obeisances and weeping and crying in ecstasy of love. And Lord Chaitanya said, whatever good devotional qualities are in the husbands are also in the wives. So in this way, through his words, he reciprocated with their love and showed great, deep appreciation. He was praising the devotees amongst all the others. At a certain time, he took Damodar Pandit to a secluded place and asked him that you have gone to Navadvip to meet my beloved mother, Sachi. Please tell me, is she worshipping Lord Vishnu with devotion? Damodar Pandit, he said, please tell me the truth. Is she worshipping Lord Vishnu with devotion? Damodar Pandit, who was very austere and renounced, became very angry at this question. In anger, he spoke to Lord Chaitanya. He said, what can I say about the devotion of Sachi Devi? Why do you even ask this question? It is only by the mercy of Sachi Devi that you have any devotion to Lord Vishnu yourself. Whatever power you have is only due to her prayers and her devotion. I speak the truth. It is only by the mercy of Sachi Devi that devotion to Vishnu has awoken in your heart. Why do you ask such a foolish question as this, my Lord? Oh, dear Master. Trembling, weeping, hair standing on end, shouting, fainting, perspiring, being stunned. These are all ecstatic symptoms of love for Krishna. At every single moment they are manifested on Sachi Devi's body. And her gracious mouth is constantly chanting the holy names. Sachi Devi is devotional service personified. Why do you bewilder me by asking me this question? Anyone who even says the word Ai, which is Bengali for mother, they will be delivered from all sufferings by the grace of Sachi Devi. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this reply, he was floating in ecstatic bliss. His heart was dancing. His eyes were weeping. And he embraced Damodar Pandit again and again and again. Then the Lord spoke to Damodar Pandit. He said, "Everything you said is true. It is a fact." He said, "Whatever devotion I have to Vishnu is simply by the causeless mercy of Sachi Devi. She is my mother. Her prayers and her love is all that I am made of. Her mercy is the very sustenance of my life. I can never, with all my powers, even begin to pay my debt to Sachi Mata. I am a prisoner in her home. I am a prisoner in her heart. I am constantly remembering her, and I never leave her. You have spoken the truth." Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this question to Damodar Pandit because he wanted to reveal the glories of his mother for the whole world to understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I only descended in this world due to my mother's prayers. Otherwise, I have no business here. For whatever greatness and glory the Lord displayed while in this world, he gave all credit to his mother, Sachi Devi. That is the reciprocation of love. Vatsalya Ras. So here we find Suniti. She has planted the seed of devotion in Dhruva's heart. And by her love and her prayers in helpless devotion for his protection, not only was Dhruva Maharaj protected, but she attained the ultimate perfection of life. This is the principle of preaching. In giving, we receive. Srila Prabhupada taught Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mathematic equation. The more you give, the more you get. In the material sense, whatever you give, you have that much less. But in spiritual life, whatever you give, you have that much more. How is that? Because Krishna is so pleased by that giving that he's reciprocating within the heart and giving you so much more to give. If we try to give compassion to others, Krishna gives us more and more compassion to give. Bhakti means whatever little bit of faith, whatever little bit of affection we have for the Lord, we try to give. And by that expression, Krishna gives us more and more and more. So to the degree we caringly, lovingly are trying to help another in Krishna consciousness, to that same degree Krishna will give himself to us. Therefore Krishna says in Gita that there is no one more dear to me than the person who is preaching this message, and there will never be anyone more dear to me. That is compassion. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And it was that quality that Srila Prabhupada most munificently exhibited in his life. And to reciprocate with that love that he has given to us by remaining faithful, strict to his teachings, to his life's work, his mission. That is how we confess, please Krishna. And in pleasing Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and conquers our hearts.
Dear Queen, you must have worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who delivers his devotees from the greatest danger. Persons who constantly meditate upon him surpass the course of birth and death. This perfection is very difficult to achieve.
Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we see that in our life, while being practicing devotees, we have so many faults in our practice, in our relationships with devotees. And it seems that when we pray to the Lord, it still takes some time for the faults to go because of our strong conditioning. So sometimes we feel that our prayers are not working, or we are not sincere enough, we are not praying sincerely enough. So in that condition, what to speak of praying for other devotees or somebody else's advancement? So in such a situation, how can we get the best benefit of prayer for ourselves and for others?
Sincerity is the quality that attracts Krishna. And we should know that praying for our own deliverance in and of itself is not enough. We must please Krishna by our prayers. Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur that I am feeling great anxiety in my heart because so many unlimited conditioned souls in ignorance have forgotten their relationship with Krishna and have to suffer birth after birth after birth. What can I do to help them? The Lord was revealing his compassionate nature. Haridas Thakur wanted to speak in such a way that would make Lord Chaitanya happy. He said, "My Lord," he said, "you have already come to this world and you've induced so many people to chant." The Lord said, "But what about the immovable objects? They're not chanting. The trees and the grass." He said, "No, my Lord, when you chant, it appears there's an echo, but actually that echo is the trees and the grass and the plants and the stones chanting in response. The whole universe will go back to the spiritual world, attain perfection of liberation, because you have descended to this world and you have filled it with your holy names." So this is why Thakur Haridas is Namacharya. Because he understood that to please the Lord means to be compassionate and to pray for the welfare of others. Paradukaduki. At the same time, we have to pray to the Lord to give us strength, to give us purity, to give us compassion. Not so much so that we can go back to Godhead, but we can be an instrument of the Lord to help others to go back to Godhead. The more pure my heart is, the more I can actually be transparent in giving the mercy of the Lord to others. So for their welfare, please, my Lord, let me purify my heart. And God helps those who help themselves. He's given us His name. He's given us Srimad Bhagavatam. He's given us the Murti. He's given us the Vaishnavas. He's given us so much service. Through these mediums, the Lord has appeared in our life. And we can purify our hearts and attain perfection. So along with our prayers, we must really strive with all honesty and sincerity to take to the process of bhakti by which we can become pure. What was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's first and last instruction to Srila Prabhupada? It's very interesting, the words he used. He said, you should take this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language and teach it all over the world. This will benefit you and will benefit all others. That is a fact. In giving Krishna to others and praying for the welfare of others, we benefit and others benefit. So yes, it may take time. And devotees should always feel that everything we do is inadequate. How could the atomic particle jivatma ever do anything adequate for the service of Vibhu, the supreme unlimited personality of Godhead? Hanuman was lifting mountains, and the little squirrel was just lifting pebbles of sand. But Ram saw them equal. Because for Lord Ram, there's not that much difference between a Himalayan mountain and a grain of sand. He's unlimited. They're both insignificant to him. But if we are sincere to please him, to serve him, then Krishna takes sincere note of that. So we should always be striving to improve. When we feel ourselves inadequate, we are humble, and we are struggling and striving to be better. And those are essential ingredients in whatever service we do. And it may take time. Mukunda Dutt, when he was told that he would have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, after 10 million births, he was splashed with ecstasy and dancing. Only 10 million births, I will see the Lord. He didn't mind suffering in a conditioned state for 10 million births if he could just... He was willing to just go on chanting and strictly following the principles of bhakti for 10 million births, because that's a small price to achieve the eternal unlimited association of Sri Rasaraj Krishna. That's faith. That's surrender. Surrender means on Krishna's terms, not on our time schemes. We may have our daily planners, and we may have, you know, all of our appointments made according to specific times. And we should fill that daily planner with services to Lord Krishna. But as far as when he's going to reveal himself within our heart, when he's going to awaken ecstatic prem within our consciousness, you can't put that in your day planner. You can put millions of entries of how you will serve the Lord,
But how the Lord reciprocates is on His terms. That is surrender. According to Mukunda Dutt, 10 million births. Have to have a big date planner for that. It's beyond. There's no number that man has ever calculated astronomically how many minutes and seconds there are in 10 million births. But he was patient. And he was happy to know that he was serving. And that is one of the tests of devotional service. Krishna can give pure love, pure devotional service to anyone immediately. But he wants us to cry for it. Lobha. He wants us to eagerly weep and cry for that bhakti. He wants us to understand clearly that there's nothing in the world more valuable than that. It's the only real wealth. Lord Chaitanya asked the devotees who came from Navadvip whether his friends and family members in Navadvip were living auspicious lives. And he defined auspiciousness means that they're engaged in devotional service. If they have devotion, their lives are auspicious. That is real wealth, the Lord taught. He said in this regard, even if a person is so poor that he doesn't know whether or not he'll get another meal, if that person has devotion, that person is the wealthiest man on earth. But without devotion, without love of God, no matter what arrangements we have, no matter what acquisitions we may have achieved, our life is simply inauspicious. And then all these Brahmins began to invite Lord Chaitanya to their house for prasad. And he said, whoever gives me 1 lakh, I will go to their house. So the Brahmins were poor. They said, 1 lakh? How will we ever get 1 lakh? In our whole life we'll never have 1 lakh. And if you don't come to our house for prasad, then our homes are useless, please. They were dejected. And the Lord smiled. He said, I'm not talking a lack of rupees or coins. I'm talking about a lack of names. Whoever chants Krishna's holy name 1 lakh of times, I am purchased by that person and I will come to your home. So then they all became very happy and they all started chanting 64 rounds. And the Lord came to all their homes. Auspicious. So we have to be convinced. The great treasure of prema bhakti is so valuable. People spend 20 years to get a PhD. People spend so many hours and years of their whole lives to get some wealth of the world. And that may be required according to our situation. But the wealth of the world will be lost at death. And we can't take anything with us. Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhaya. But any progress we make in the path of bhakti, that wealth is never lost. It is carried with us in our next birth. So people are willing to be patient and work their whole lives for something of the world. Krishna wants to see, are we serious? We'll patiently work our whole lives for some comfort, for the body or for the mind, but for prema bhakti, eternal love, Are you willing to do at least that much? Or if I don't get it by June 26th, 2005, then I quit. We should know 100% for sure that Krishna is in our heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi shani vishtoma tasmati rajnanam apohanam cha. And He hears your every prayer. When a prayer is offered with honesty and sincerity, we must have 100% faith that Krishna hears that prayer. And if we're praying for the right thing, Krishna will fulfill that prayer. He will open the doors to liberation. Mahatsevam dwaram ahuravamoktesh. In the association of the devotees, the Lord provides the opening of the door to liberation. We must have that confidence. We must have that faith. And that faith comes from hearing and associating with people who have faith. With that faith, with honest and sincere prayers, with a genuinely helpless state of mind, understanding our condition in this material world, we must carry on in our bhakti, devotional service. And then by the grace of the Lord, we will surely cross over all obstacles. Bhagavatam describes this world as like a vast, unlimited ocean. So many sufferings, so many uncontrollable reversals are bound to come in our life. But for one who is taking shelter of the Lord sincerely, the ocean of material existence reduces to the amount of water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Can easily cross beyond it. But we must be steadfast. We must understand the value of the gift of bhakti and never let go. Yes?
Maharaj, you gave many nice examples of Dhruva, Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how they reciprocated with their parents or with their spiritual preceptors. So I have a question, I have two questions, Maharaj. One is, what is expected of a disciple, how is a disciple expected to reciprocate with a spiritual master? That's one question. Also, you were telling about Srila Prabhupada. In his last years, he became like a child dependent on the mother. He became dependent on his disciples in his last years. But there were only very few fortunate disciples who could serve Srila Prabhupada like that and reciprocate him in such a close way. So I would like to know how is a disciple expected to express his gratitude for all the great things that a spiritual master has done to his life.
Repeat the first question.
You told us three nice examples how they reciprocated with their parents. Similarly, how is the average disciple expected to reciprocate for the mercy of the spiritual master?
Srila Prabhupada gave us simple instruction in this regard.
He said, what I have given you, give it to others. But in order to give it, we have to be striving to be what we're giving. Otherwise, we have little effect in giving. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya. We reciprocate with the spiritual master first by receiving with an open and submissive heart what he is giving us. Love of God, the path of perfection. By hearing. Hearing with a submissive heart. And then following what we hear. Applying it to our everyday life, moment after moment. The Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada put the greatest emphasis on Harinam Sankirtan. Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvata. The mirror of the mind is cleansed by the chanting of the holy names. Our indescribable godly qualities are awakened through the chanting of the holy names. So we should take very seriously living a pure and pious life in a spirit of service and hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names of the Lord and sharing this message with others. That is how we reciprocate with the love of the spiritual master. The spiritual master really doesn't need anything from us. But his mission is to help Krishna. And if we assist in that mission, then we are reciprocating with his love. The second part of your question. A few devotees were with Srila Prabhupada during his last months in his manifested earthly lila. And they were able to reciprocate by treating him in such an affectionate way as he appeared to be dependent on them. But that is in a physical sense. Because in those last weeks and months, devotees all over the world were intensely praying to Krishna and offering their lives for Srila Prabhupada's apparent well-being. In fact, Srila Prabhupada gave the prayer that devotees all over the world should offer to Krishna. Because we didn't even know how to pray. He prayed, he told us, you can pray, my dear Lord Krishna. Or pray to the deities, my dear Sri Sri Radha Madhava. If you so desire, please keep our spiritual master with us and restore his health. Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to impose our will on Krishna's will. He told us, don't pray, Krishna. Please keep our Guru Maharaj with us. It must be prefaced by, if you so desire. Because ultimately our only desire should be Krishna's desire. And there were devotees with tears pouring from the very core of their hearts all over the world offering this prayer. There were book distributors that were increasing their book distribution by multiple times with this prayer in their heart. to try to express to Krishna how much they love Prabhupada and how much they need his association. There were pujaris who were performing such devotional offerings to the deities with this prayer in heart. All over the world, devotees were reciprocating with Prabhupada's love in the same mood. It wasn't only those persons who were physically with him. Not at all. Does that answer your question? Muralidhar Prabhu, you had a question.
Maharaj, in your lecture you mentioned about how Prabhupada's parents saw to it that Srila Prabhupada becomes a nice devotee. So it's the desire of each and everyone who is in Krishna consciousness that their children become nice devotees and flower up nicely in Krishna conscious atmosphere. But then there are so many hurdles, Maharaj, right from childhood, bringing up, and as the days progress, the conditions become worse and worse outside. So then the parents become perplexed as to what should we do, because we have to give them the education, material education, at the same time see that the children flower up in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. And then when an opportunity comes where the child can get an education, material education, as well as done in a nice Krishna conscious environment, but then also you know that there is so much of problems going to come, the parents will have to undergo some troubles, even the child also may have to undergo some austerities. So then the question again comes up, how do we strike a balance? Like, you may think that for the best child's welfare, maybe the child will have to travel so much of distance to go. And get education in the school. But at the same time, we also feel that maybe the child is physically tortured. But at the same time, parents also know that this is the best thing what we can probably give to the child. So how do we strike a balance, Maharaj? How do we go about with it? With a lot of prayers, we would like to do that. At the same time,
according to the time, the place, the circumstance, kala desha patra, we must use our God-given intelligence, inquire from those who have higher realizations than ourselves, and ultimately come to a conclusion of how to best express our real love for the child. It is the first and foremost duty of every parent to love their child. But in order to love, we must understand, what is love? Love is a genuine concern for the welfare of the object of love, in the case of a parent to the child. So we have to understand that that child is an eternal spirit soul, part of Krishna, somehow or other covered and conditioned by the modes of material nature. And that child has a mind, an intelligence, and an ego, that is the subtle body, that has so many needs and so many wants. And the child also has a body, a physical body, gross, made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And that body has so many needs and so many wants. So a parent must holistically
express love by serving the needs of the body, the mind, and the soul. We cannot neglect any of them. If we neglect any of them, then we are failing as parents. We are not really expressing love. By serving the body and mind, in and of itself, it's shallow. Because the body and mind is not the child. It's just the temporary dresses. The real child is the soul. You must take care of the dress, but the real need is for the soul. And the soul is longing for real love, which can only be fulfilled in Krishna. Because for the soul, the relationships of this world, which are all temporary, have very little meaning. But if the relationships within this world help invoke love of God, then the relationships of this world have eternal meaning. So, it is very important for all parents who actually want to show real love for their children to facilitate, encourage, and create an environment by which they are protected physically by food and dress. They are by medicines. They are protected emotionally and mentally by affection, by concern, proper education. And in essence, they're protected spiritually. And all of these things together harmonize in such a way to give them a faith and an enthusiasm to serve God and to love God and to chant the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Guru na sasyat, swajini na sasyat, pita na sasyat, januni na sasyat. Srimad Bhagavatam declares that one has no right to be a guru, a worshipable devata, or a mother or a father, unless they can take the responsibility that their child will never have to suffer birth and death again, but they will perfect their lives in this very life. That is the first duty of a parent. Living in modern civilization, so many obstacles, so many detours from the real path, as you have expressed. Therefore, it is the parents' real expression of love when they come together and they balance things the best they possibly can to really give the treasure of devotion to their children. And that especially means to make the home like the spiritual world, where they see how the mother, the father, the relatives, how they love Krishna. And the parents should make Krishna consciousness not simply an austerity, but a joyful experience. Because actually bhakti is a joyful experience. They should see the parents joyfully serving sadhus, joyfully worshipping the deity, joyfully chanting the holy names, joyfully doing so many nice services for Krishna. This will have a deep impression in their hearts. And according to our ability and our means, we should try to direct them and encourage them in a very wonderful way so that they will naturally blossom with the flower of bhakti. Where there is a will, there is a way. I cannot give too many details because you are the parents. But I can say this, that if you make this a priority and you really care, then you'll really work on making yourself perfect so that you could give more to your children. And you'll use your God-given intelligence to really discriminate and try to chalk out a path in your children's life that will be a genuine expression of true love. We should be very concerned of the association our children keep. If we can somehow inspire them and induce them to find great happiness in the association of devotees, then they will be protected naturally. And Srila Prabhupada expressed in his own life, every morning when everyone else was sleeping, he would hear his father ringing the bell and worshipping Radha Govinda and chanting the holy names. That's how he woke up every day, seeing his parents worshipping Krishna. Every day he would invite sadhus to the house and beg for mercy, have kirtan, have harikatha. And still his father was a merchant who worked hard, but he still maintained such a very deep and sublime, pure spiritual atmosphere at home that deeply affected the children. All the children became great, great Vaishnavas. Ambarish Maharaj was a great king. Read 9th canto of Bhagavatam, how even though he was performing all the duties of the head of state so proficiently, still he orchestrated his life in such a way that he was always remembering Krishna. And his whole family were great devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.